Good evening. Chag Sameach. I hope you're preparing for Yom Kippur. That's what we'll be studying tonight. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach. Gedula Chimincha. Tati. This verse connects us to Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Gevura. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu no. Kufreshai and Sintet Nun. Two words cross Satan, tear up Satan. And it reminds us to protect our gates, the small gates in our head, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, which are the entry points for the negative side. Na Gibor, Dor Shehudcha. Kivavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet connects us to Parnassah, which is sustenance. And Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that allows us to take back the energy that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem, rachameh sidkatcha, tamid gamlem. Bet tetresh, tzadi taf gimel. This sequence connects us to the sphere of Netzach, eternal victory. Chasin kadosh, b'rov tuvcha, Nael Adatach. Het Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin. This sequence connects us to the sphere of Chod and reminds us to connect to appreciation, reminds us to appreciate what we have and what we don't have. It also connects us to the letters Pei and Lamed, which we utilize to take control during the month of Tishrei, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, the Pei that has a bet concealed within the mouth that the Pei represents, and the Lamed acting as a teacher. The Lamed that created the constellation Maznaim, which is the scales, the Libra. Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadiyutav. This last sequence deals with manifestation. And it teaches us, through connecting us to Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love, and showing us the aspect of completion, of manifestation, that the only way to perfect ourselves, complete ourselves, is by injecting the consciousness of love. The 8th verse, we say in a whisper. So good evening all. Chag Sameach, a happy holiday. Tomorrow night, we have a very special event where Yom Kippur is also on Shabbat. And because we are taught that even though it's on Shabbat, we still fast, we start to understand that we're going to a higher level than a normal Shabbat. That higher level is the Sphira of Bina. Yom Kippur is part of the process of beginning, new beginning, to the level of maturity represented by Simchat Torah. If you don't understand this, or there are classes explaining these holidays and how they are all tied together, that there's 23 days that are basically the from the beginning, a new beginning, to completion of a mature individual. And that mature individual will have created a year for him to achieve all of his tikkun, if we would only just do it. Does anybody have any questions before I begin? Tonight's class is a Zohar class, as to my knowledge, I'm the only one who teaches Zohar classes in this way, verse by verse. This section we are reading from is from the Parasha of Emor, and it's section 34 titled Yom Kippur. We're reading the first verse in this section is verse 224. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunanei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunanehu. Tachatzi b'chai yoma ad kasya si chara v'la nachir ad b'asor l'chodesh d'Yisrael ta'evin kuhu b'tuvuchta shelemata. Ve'ima ila'a tavat v'nacharat la'v'chai yoma nechiru de'ima natla ve'ishtekach heidu b'kola ve'alda k'tiv yom ha'kipurim ha'kipurim hu Yom Kivod Mevae Leya Man Yom HaKippurim Ela Begin Dit Dat Ditre Nechorin Necharan Bechad Butsina Ila Anachir Levutsina Tata Uchai Yoma Min chora ila'a nachit nahir bila min chora ishmesha ukich bakese liyom hagenu ketiv. Every once in a while I remind you that when you hear me making errors in the reading of the Hebrew or the Aramaic, what is really going on is when I correct that sound, I'm making a correction in my soul. And you are, as hearing the sound, receiving help and assistance in achieving your correction. Because the fact that I made the mistake was an indication that in that area of the Sfirot, and every word in the Zohar comes from a Sfira, in that area of the Sfirot, I have a correction. And when I sound it properly, it means that that correction is being fixed. When you hear the mistake, it means that you have some connection to that error. And when you hear it said properly, It means you are also correcting the mistake. Come and see. On that day of Rosh Hashanah, the moon is gathered, which is Malchut, and does not shine until the 10th day of the month, when all of Israel return in complete repentance and supernal Ima. Bina again shines upon it. On that day, Yom Kippur, Malchut receives the illuminations of Ima, Bina, and joy abounds everywhere. Hence it is written, for it is a day of atonement. The Hebrew word is Yom Kippur. It should have said Yom Kippur in the singular. What is the meaning of Yom Kippurim in the plural? This is because at that time two lights shine together. The supernal luminary Bina shines upon the lower luminary Malchut. On that day, Malchut shines with supernal light, which is Bina, instead of from the light of the sun, Zeranpin. Hence it is written, at the full moon, also the covering on our feast day. That's a verse from Tehillim, or Psalms. Because Malchut does not shine until Yom Kippur. I just want to explain to you, there's so much in this verse. As I was walking to my present location tonight, there was a moon. That was an illusion. The Zohar is telling us that Malchut, which is the moon, does not shine until Yom Kippur. So if you see a moon, you need to know it's an illusion. Now, I could have said the blessing of the moon, which is anywhere from the 8th day to the 14th day. But it is best in Tishrei to say it by lengthening your fast on Yom Kippur and saying the blessing of the moon, the third part of the blessing of the moon ritual. So the moon does not shine, but the verse is telling us, when we talk about Yom Kippur, the verse is telling us that it is a day of atonement. And literally the explanation is, it's a Hebrew word, Yom Kippur. Yom is day. What is Kippur? Kippur is means like poor. Poor is a Hebrew word that means lots, like throwing dice. But why does it say Yom Kippurim? Which then that becomes a day like Purim. Well, Purim was almost the Mashiach. It was an amazing experience of unity. But it's really saying to us, don't play with those words. Kippur, Kippurim is plural. There are two lights that are being shined. It's understanding that as part of the growth, Bina is the mother. She gave birth to two children. One is called Malchut, and one is called Zeranpin. One is male, and one is female. The mother shines directly on Malchut only on Yom Kippur. All other times, she shines through Zeranpin, and Zeranpin shines on Malchut. That's what this verse is talking to us about. Verse 225. Rabbi Abba Shalach Le Rabbi Shimon Namar Amatai Zu Zivuga the Knesset Yisrael B'malka Kadisha Shalach Le Vagam Amuna Achoti Bat Avi Hi Ach Lo Vat Imi Vat Hili Leisha Achwagash Gish Atragish Rabbi Abba Arim Kale Vekali Amar Rabbi Rabbi Butsina Kadisha Vav Vav Le Alma Katipuk Mine Vav Ludara Dichon Alma Akad Tistelak Mimchon Klish Arun Utmin Minach Ala Bichia Leribi Abba Chai Bishalech Bishalach Lekavlach Maika Amar. Rabbi Abba sent a question to Rabbi Shimon, saying, when does the union of the congregation of Israel, which is Malchut, with the holy king Zeranpin occur? He sent to him, and yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, and not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Rabbi Abba trembled and raised his voice in crying. He said, Rabbi, Rabbi, holy luminary, woe, woe to the world when you shall depart from it. Woe to that generation which will be in the world when you shall leave them, and they shall be orphaned from you. Rabbi Chia said to Rabbi Abba, what does this verse he sent you mean? The verse is very confusing for most people reading it, just as it was for Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Abba asked a simple question, when does Malchut and Zeranpin, when does the Zivug occur? When do the brother and sister marry? When do they come together? That's the question. We were talking earlier verse where Bina is shining directly on Malchut. So Rabbi Abba is saying, when does Zeranpin shine on Malchut? And Rabbi Shimon's answer is very cryptic. We will read on, and I'm sure it will become clear. But on its surface, it's very cryptic. And Rabbi Abba is just so amazed by this answer that he is fearful that when Rabbi Shimon leaves the world, this wisdom will be lost. Verse 226. Amar v'dai La Ziduga Temalka Matronita Ela Bazina Tenachara Meaba Ila Avikad At Nachara Mineka Renan La Kodesh Tehami Bay Abba Nadla Hai Ukden Modavge Kachada Begin de Malka Kodesh Ikre Biti Lo Kodesh Yisrael Vashem de Matil Meatar de Ikre Kodesh Kedain Achoti Bat Avihi Achlo Bat Imi Dehami be Abba Shema, Davila mi be Ima, Vialdav vati lili isha, Liaz ravga kachada, Bezina davila mezina, Achara bezina, Bedad La Mibe Abba Dilabis Mina Dinad La Mibe Ima Vyom Hakipurim Okach Detashmish Hamishata Asur Begin Devika La Ishtekach Deha Mibe Iman Adla Vila Mibe Abba Amar Rabbi Chia Vadai Zaka Adera Rabbi Shimon Shari Begave Zaka Aninun Teka Emin Kame Kol Yoma. Rabbi Abba said to him, surely the king does not unite with the matron, namely Zerampin with Malchut, save when she shines from supernal Abba. When Chachma of Bina is clothed in the Chasadim of Abba, when she shines from him, she is called holiness, since she receives it from the abode of supernal Abba. As Abba is the secret of holiness, then male and female mate together. For the king is called holiness, as written, Israel is holiness to Hashem. Receiving from the place called holiness, then Zerampin says, my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, because that name holiness is from Abba's house, and not from my mother's house, not from Bina. And therefore, and she became my wife, to unite as one during that time, but on no other time. That is when she receives from the house of Ima. Yom Kippur proves that, as intercourse is forbidden on it, since then there is no mating of Zerampin and Malchut, as on Yom Kippur, she receives from the house of Ima, and not from the house of Abba. Rabbi Chiya said, indeed, happy is a generation amongst whom dwells Rabbi Shimon. Happy are those who daily stand before him. If we understand the answer that we got in the previous verse, it's explained here very clearly, but it's something you wouldn't think is the answer from the answer we were given. But the relationship of Zerampin and Malchut, Malchut is receiving from Bina, therefore she is the not the daughter of, they don't have the same mother, because Chachma is sharing with Zerampin, but not with Malchut during Yom Kippur, and that's why we have the restriction of no zibug, no sexual intercourse on Yom Kippur. Very interesting, very amazing revelation. Nowhere else is that taught or discussed. Robert, verse 227:1. Amar Rabbi Abba B'Rosh Hashanah Nivra Adam V'Kaim Bedina Kame Mare V'Ta V'Tiyuta V'Kabile Kudsha Barichu Allah Adam Ant Tehe Simana Levnayich Udare Darin Bechayoma Kaimin Bedina De Iyatuvun Ana Kabelon De Ekum Meborsaya De Dina Viet Kayem Al Kursaya De Rachame Viarachem Alaihu De David Amar Ahavti ki yishma Adonai et koli kakononai ve'alda ketiv ki imcha. Haslicha lema'an tov. Tivare uktiv ki imcha. Mekor. Chayim ki oracha nire or. Rabbi Abba said, Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah and stood on trial before his master for eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He repented, and the Holy One, blessed be He, accepted him. He said to him, Adam, you shall serve as a symbol for your descendants for generations, who are sentenced on that day. If they shall repent, I shall accept them. Rise from the throne of judgment, and sit on the throne of mercy, and have pity on them. David used to say, I love Hashem who hears my voice and my supplications. It's a verse from Psalms. Hence it is written that there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Another verse from Psalms. And for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. A fourth verse from Psalms. We learn that it is a commandment to be afflicted on Yom Kippur, to subjugate body and soul. Verse 227:2. This is a teaching of the Reaya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd, which is when Moses is speaking in the Zohar. Pikuda da leitana'a biyoma de kipure leachna'a gufa venafsha leaza de chamsha ivuyin. Techamisha dirdin, diyoma dekipure, tibcha mikteriana. Kaate li arkavra, hovechon kema de itmar. Excuse me. The kuhu betuta de shalemata. Kame avokon kola kima deitmar bekama dukte. Alken reaya behemna. This is the end of the Moses speaking. It's just one verse. It is a commandment to be afflicted on Yom Kippur, to subjugate body and soul by means of the five afflictions. The five grades of Yom Kippur, which are Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod. For the prosecutor comes to impart their sins, as we learned, and they are all of Israel, repenting wholly before their Father, as we learned in different places. We now understand why there are five afflictions, because it's relating to the five sefirot, which have a desire for the light of Bina. Verse 228. Ach ba'asor lechodesh hashvi'i Haze Yom HaKippurim Hu Mikre Kodesh Yihyeh Lachem Rabbi Chia Petach LeDavid Mashkil Ashrei Nashu Pesha Kisu Chata'a LeDavid Mashkil Chatenenan Yud Zine Zimra it Kere Sefer Techilim Benitzu Ach Benigun Bumashkir Bamiktam Bamizmor Bashir Beashre Betahi Tefila Bechoda Abhallelujah Bila Ameburhu Hallelujah Beha Ukmuha. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It should be a holy gathering to you. Rabbi Chiya opened with of David, a maskil, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We learn that the book of Tehillim is recited by 10 kinds of songs, by the chief musician, by maskil, by miktam, by a psalm, by a song, by blessed, by prayer, by acknowledgement, by hallelujah. The highest is hallelujah, as we already explained. When we read Tehillim, the first sentence, the first verse of each chapter usually has one of 10 different titles. Mashkil is a title. Hallelujah is a title. Miktam is a title. Tehillim is a title. There are 10 different titles, and they each represent a different level of Tehillim. We don't see all of the maskils together. They're spread throughout the 150 chapters. Most people don't relate to the reality that these 10 different levels are 10 sphirot, and realize that the Tehillim is connecting to a specific sphira. That's what this teaching is starting out with. Verse 229. Haka mashkil atre yediya mahu mashkil maya tiach kitnu leinun tishatu lehu hahu atar deigre mashkil kada'a mashkil aldevar imsa tov ugin deigre halke talya Be'salicha Cheru dechivin Chahidiktiv Ashrei meshub Ha'esha Kisuya Chata'a. The location of Maskil is known as Yesod Abina. What is that? That is called Maskil. It is that water which makes wise those who drink from it. Namely, it bestows Chochmah. The place called Maskil is as in he who considers, which is the Hebrew word Maskil, his words shall find good. So, a verse from Proverbs. If Maskil bestows on something, there will be good in it, which is the illumination of Chochmah, clothed in Chasadim. Since it is so-called forgiveness and the greatest freedom come from it, since forgiveness and freedom are bestowed from Chochmah and Bina, this is the secret of blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, since his transgression is forgiven by the plenty of Chochmah. Every psalm that is a maskil is connecting us to Yesod of Bina. It's connecting us to Chochmah, which must flow through Bina to reach Yesod of Bina, and then from there down through Malchut and into Zeranpin. This is the normal flow of things. The light of Chokhmah is so powerful that it cleanses. When it flows through Yesod HaBinah, when it flows through the Maskil, it's talking about generating goodness, covering any negativity, any transgression. That's what's taking place from this light of Chokhmah that flows through Bina. And yet we perceive it as coming from Bina. Verse 230. My kisu chata'a ha'okmucha dehu kisu nivena shahahu chata'a dechav lekudsha berichu le'edei kamei kudsha berichu aval tachatzi kad barnash chater dechav zina chada utrein udvata bela adar beha chovo be'a it galya Inunu mi parsame lonely ela parsame lonely tata the karoze azlin kame karize istalaku mischarane tefilanya nazifu nibare Nazifu leila, nazifu latata, lavle diftragin. Yukna demare, lavle dila, chayish lekara, demare. Kuchabarichu gale chove, leila haidiktiv, yigalu shemaim. Avono ve'aretz matkom amalo ve'kad barnash azil be'orcha demare ishtadal befur chane ve'as deman le'chat achad l'kola ve'kasin ilai ve'y Ilain da tatain da ikre kesu chata'a. He asks, what is meant by whose sin is covered? And answers, it was explained that the sin he committed before the Holy One, blessed be he, is covered from people. And he confessed it before the Holy One, blessed be he. Yet come and see, when a man sins, shining once, twice, and thrice, and does not repent, his sins become public, because they are made known above and made known below. Criers walk before him and announce, get away from around so-and-so. He is chided by his master, chided above and chided below. Woe to him for blemishing his master's image. Woe to him who has no fear for his master's glory. The Holy One, blessed be he, reveals his iniquity above. This is the meaning of, the heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. This is a verse from Job. When a man walks the path of his master, and busies himself with his service, and happens to sin, everyone covers it. The higher and the lower beings. This is called whose sin is covered. And all of those sins that are covered, we haven't really defined tonight what is a sin, but all of those sins, all of those mistakes that are covered, covered by the entities above and below, all of those negative actions that are covered are cleansed from the light of Chokhmah flowing through Yesod HaBina and causing us to be clean, and clear. This is the forgiveness. This is the atonement. This is the unity that takes place on Yom Kippur. The light of Chochmah is so bright, flowing through Bina, and Bina shining on Malchut, everything is cleansed. What a gift. And all we had to do is be around and know that this is what's taking place. What a gift. Hashem is so merciful. Verse 231. Amar le Rabbi Abba Ad ke'an la matit Ve'ikara le'mila v'shapir Ke'amarta V'hai deka amru havraya Shapir aval I haki mekuse Chata mi bae le miahu Kisu chata. Rabbi Abba said to him, you have not yet reached the crux of the matter. You spoke well, and whatever the friend said is fine. But if this is so, it should have said, covered sin. Why does it say whose sin is covered or covering? Many times in the Zohar, we'll find this phrase, friends. Whatever the friend said is fine, is okay, is good. And it's really talking about the commentary that is written in the Talmud. There's always a deeper level expressed by the Zohar. And this is why I have difficulty understanding after 2,000 years of studying Gemara and Mishnah, that rabbis still are saying, don't study the Zohar. Everything needs to be studied. It's all Torah. Verse 232. Ela tare mile de chachmata it be vetar vaihu haki chad kema de tanenan de ovadin tavin de varnash aved Bahaila lehit labasha Bahu vekad barnash adkin Ovadin tavin vegavrin yale Omadin bishin veashkach Vekucha barichu veovahoi bishin Sagiin vihu vasha Deishtakach Chata'a Kame mare Futohe Al inun Tavan de'avar Da'avad Bekad meta Ha'i David Hu mikola Mehai alma Ume alma De'ate ma Aved kudsha barichu Meinun tavin de'aved chai chata'a bekad meta. Rabbi Abba answers, there are two matters of wisdom here. In the verse, sin covering is as follows. The one, as we learn, that from the good deeds man performs in this world, a costly garment is made in that world for him to wear. When man does good deeds, yet the evil deeds overpower him, and the only one, blessed be he, sees that his evil deeds are more numerous than his good deeds, then he is evil, because he is guilty before his master. Since there are more misdeeds than good deeds, he repines and regrets the good deeds he already performed. then he is entirely lost from this world and the world to come. He asks, what does the Holy One, blessed be he, do from the good deeds the sinner accomplished before? The Torah is so amazing. What this is saying, if somebody does a series of good deeds throughout their life, but they do more negative deeds, when they leave the world and they are judged, the more negative deeds mean this person is a sinner. So it's not like those negative deeds overcome the good deeds and that's the end of it. There has to be something done with this good deeds, because there is no disappearance in spirituality. It's amazing how this information is portrayed to us in the Zohar. Verse 233. Ela kuchabrihu afagi tehahu rasha chata'a itavidinun tavan. Vazachyan lait avihdu it tzadik diazil diarcho demalka ila'a diatkin devroshi sho meovado diadla ashlim levusho istalak kuchabarichu ashlim le ma'inun. Ovadin da'avad hai rasha chata'a v'yashlin levusho v'yitakana behu behahu alma ha'hidutiv yakin v'tzadik ulvash hahu chata'a atkin. Excuse me. The tzaddik it kape mima dihu takin ha'idiktiv kesu chata'a v'alda ala ketiv mekusaya ela kesu. He answers, even though the wicked man is lost, the good deeds and merits he committed are not lost, for there is a righteous man who walks the ways of the Supernal King and has made garments from his good deeds, but before completing his garments, he departed from the world. The Holy One, blessed be he, completes in his garments from the good deeds the evil sinner has committed and perfects his garments for him to put in that world. This is the meaning of the evil may prepare it, but the just shall put it on. A verse from Job. The evil man made it, and the righteous man covers himself with what he made. This is the meaning of whose sin is the covering. The covering, namely his garment, comes from the sinner. Hence it is not written that it is covered, but that it is covering, because it refers to a garment. We do good deeds and we do not so good deeds and mistakes. And if we are judged to be overwhelmed by our negativity, the good deeds, since there's no disappearance in spirituality, the good deeds are given to a righteous person to complete his work and shorten his process. And as such, parts of our soul are transferred. Parts of the sinner's soul are transferred to the righteous man. Nothing is ever lost. There is no disappearance in spirituality. It's an amazing, amazing teaching. Verse 234. V'chad b'yachafeh ha'hu chata'ah Tehai zaka'a be'inun de'ilun ikrun Mitsulot yam dehaman denafil bimsolot yam la ishtekach lealmin begin demayin kafin alayhu kema tiatamar lecha shlich bimsolot yam kol hatetam man bitsut lot yam nela Raza diakala huveha okne Rabbi Shimon viamar kol inun ditu mesitra tit yetra viit achadu bezinin beshin vekitrin tatayin begon azazel yomadikah fugay Da'ikrei mitzolot yam ha'uzkez fenta tekas va'chad b'chanim le'benura chadahu vitiv ha'goy sigim mikasef. The second meaning is that the sin that a worthy man has committed is covered inside what is called the depths of the sea. For whatever falls into the depths of the sea is never found, since the water covers it. This is the meaning of, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. What are the depths of the sea? He answers, this is a precious mystery, which Rabbi Shimon explained. He said, all those coming from the harsh side and holding on to evil species and the lower sephirot, like Azazel on Yom Kippur, is considered the depths of the sea. This is called the depths of the sea, like the ores of silver refined by fire. This is meant by take away the dross from the silver. There are so many phrases in this verse that really needs to be explained, and it would take me too long. We're almost out of time as it is. So I guess we'll just read this next verse, which is part of talking about Azazel as part of the ritual of Yom Kippur. Verse 235. Kaf chai me'inun mitzilot yam hu umtzilot yam ikre mitzolot me'ahu yam kadisha Mitzulot Zohama Bekasva V'alda Kol Inun Hatayin D'Yisrael Shayan Legabe V'hu Kavil Lon V'yisht Avun Legabe Ma Ta'ama Begin D'Ihu Chata'a Ikre Mai Chata'a Garuna ve'alda hu gurona tekola ve'tatal natal gairona tegufa ve'ud na'asha ve'hayoma na'chit hay mitzulot yam zohama te'na'asha ve'natir zohama tegufa Man hu zohama d'gufa da inun chavin v'it avedu al yedei d'yetzer hara t'ikre mezon cham menu val. Thus this Azazel is from the depths of the sea and is called the depths of the sea. That is the depths of the holy sea. The depths refer to the filth of silver. Hence all the sins of Israel rest in it. It receives them and they are drawn into it. This reason is that Azazel is called sin. Sin means lessening, hence it lessens everything, reducing body and soul and receiving the bodily filth, which is the sins done by the evil inclination that is called filthy and ugly. The next verse is starting to talk about the two goats and the lots involved. So I think it's a good place to break. It's also about an hour into our lesson. So does anybody have any questions? I wish you all a Chag Sameach and enjoy the five meals on Shabbat instead of your normal three physical ones. These are very spiritual. And don't forget to start building your sukkah, Motzi Shabbat. I will be teaching a class Sunday at 10 a.m. The class will be talking about sickness and health, what we can learn from this, how to handle it, how to cure all sickness. Monday at 6 p.m., we will be continuing our class, the beginning class in Albuquerque. We'll be talking about tzedakah and truma. And Tuesday, we will be speaking again from the writings of Rabbi Ashlag. That will be at 7:45 p.m. If you have any questions, the rest of the week will be tied up with the holiday of Sukkot, so we won't be having classes. But I hope you will participate in the beauty of a sukkah. Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.